check, that was a warning to negative elements in all of the alphabet agencies that you've just mentioned, that there is a very strong support for what I'm about. It is a group of Nordics who've been tasked from the main group of Nordics to act semi-autonomously to support Putin against the situation in America. So that's what that is. The satanic forces are the last bastion of evil on this planet, because they are consumed by a deadly energy evil, which has very recently linked itself with artificial intelligence. So you have an AI and a energy-based demonic force, which is now working in tandem, trying to prevent humanity evolving.
Hi, I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and I am here today with Simon Parks. And this is actually a lot of fun because I rarely get to see him in person. I've interviewed him once in person and seen him at my conferences. He's a wonderful speaker. But I haven't been able to actually, you know, see you in sort of a more relaxed atmosphere, which I would call this more relaxed, in spite of all our visitors in the room. And I mean those unseen kinds of visitors, as you're well aware of. I had sort of a direction saying there was some reason why I'm supposed to be here today interviewing you. And I'm in the UK for the holidays. It's a lot of fun to be here during this time, the festivities, whatever. But in the midst, I have been able to catch a few interviews. And that's actually something that's really good for Camelot and for my viewers, so that we don't waste the time, because time is of an essence at the moment, I would say. And I'm very, very happy to be here and happy to be able to see how you're doing physically, et cetera, in person. And let's talk about that right off the bat, because you've been under attack a bit and I'm concerned about that. And I think that we need to at least address that. So welcome. And please tell us how you're doing.
Oh, thank you. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
And we did meet face-to-face in the conference, which was a great success. Mm-hmm. And we have done our Skype interviews. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think 2016, 2017, very important times. And as a result of that, certain forces that don't wish humanity to evolve, don't want human consciousness to arise, are throwing everything they've got into the hat. So Christmas Day was very difficult. I was psychically attacked on Christmas Day, and for the last 4 to 5 hours prior to this interview, I was attacked. So somebody didn't want this interview to go ahead, and we've had a little remote view to follow it back to see where it's coming from, and it's emanating from Antarctica. So it's under control now and been able to prevent that from getting any worse. But that's always, in my book, a positive reason as to why we need to do these interviews. Because if somebody is trying their damnedest to prevent it, then we need to make sure it goes ahead. But, you know, that's what goes with the territory. And I don't criticise people who put their head above the parapet and then decide that it's not for them. That's their own decision, and that's the way they are. But there are some of us who are in this for the long haul, and we will see it through. So as pathetic and as ridiculous as these attacks are, that's the only weapon these negative entities have. But there is always a positive force which attempts to counterbalance and to give us the strength to go on. And I know you're like that, and I'm like that, and others are, and we will do it, and we'll carry on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So. Well, you know, it goes with the territory, as you say. Although it is interesting to me that on, you know, it's kind of unrelated days, right? Mm. So on Christmas, when you would think time off, you know, for everyone, they wanted to bother to amp up, sort of the electronics, let's say. I mean, I was quite shocked because the place where I was, you know, in California, we have quite a bit of this, right? And I am very sensitive to harp and all of that. And I have this thing with my feet. So I get a sensation in my feet.
Interesting.
And I can sense when it's really being, you know, brought up. And I was at dinner on Christmas, and suddenly it was just coming up through the floor, through my feet. And I was saying, this is no, there's no earthquakes. There's no, as far as I know, maybe there is a harp, but I don't, you know, I'm not aware of where it's located exactly in relation to Britain. And I was actually very surprised by that. I thought, am I imagining something here? But it was, you know, very pronounced. And it did go on all night. And then we've had actually, since I've been in Britain, as I said, since Christmas, two nights where couldn't sleep at all, just not at all until the morning. And so something's up, something's, you know, reaching some kind of fevered pitch on their side anyway. And other than that, you know, I feel very relaxed. So I'm wondering, can you tell us, what are you seeing in the future? What are your contacts seeing and communicating with you about that you are able to talk about? And I do want to preface this interview by saying we're going to go a little deeper than normal.
Okay.
And if I ask you questions that you don't want to, you know, talk about, don't be offended. Just understand that what I'm trying to
do is... You could never offend me.
Okay. What I'm trying to do is bring people a little, you know, down a little deeper.
Okay.
Because I think you're misunderstood, if you don't mind my saying so, by some. And I think we should try to address that slightly.
Okay.
I think that there's not always, when you're online with I do live shows with a huge audience, the time to actually say things and wonder about things and then, you know, stop the camera and so on, because we can do that here. Whereas I can't really do that when I'm with a live audience, you know, so that we can really delve here. So what I'd like you to do is, again, talk about what you're getting and also address where you're getting it from.
Okay.
All right.
The next 3 months on this planet are crucial.
Okay.
We've all said that 2015, 2016 is vital. And it has been, because we've had so many near misses and we've been pulled from the brink a number of times. But I think what we will see in the next 3 months are obvious signs that the public will not be able to hide from. So I'm expecting between, going ahead for 3 months, between March and July, I'm expecting some form of disclosure. It will not come from a government, it will come from an agency funded by the government, who will announce to the world that their supercomputers have been in communication with an off-planet force. They're not going to name anything. And they have been holding conversations. The government concerned who funds this agency will not deny it, but nor will it agree to it. But they will not prevent them speaking. Now, this is genuine. My concern is that it will be used for a false flag, because a non-government spokesperson is going to say, we have proof of aliens, and we have been communicating with them for the last 6 months, and here's the evidence. Now, that is a positive release of information, but there are elements within the elite who could then attempt to use that, stage some form of an attack, and then say, well, you know, you've heard there are aliens and this is what's happened. So there is a good side that wants the evidence released, and there's a negative side which can't prevent this release of information, but is seeing how it can utilize it to gain something. So that's that is actually positive. That's a positive thing for a disclosure. We'll call it a partial disclosure because it's not coming from a government head, but nevertheless it will be the most comprehensive disclosure that we can expect. So that's between March and July 2017. Running up to that, we will most definitely see a bank financially collapse in Italy. We will see an election where the Italian people vote to leave the euro and go to the lira. That will put impossible strain on the European Central Bank, and it's looking likely it'll be the collapse of what we would call the European Union. So when we look back and we've seen Great Britain have the Brit exit vote, we've seen the Clintons prevented from taking office. We've seen the Third World War being prevented on three occasions now. And we've seen a number of other situations which could have escalated one way or another, all have been prevented. We're now very clear, I think, in the view that humanity is going to be given an open door. But the point is whether humanity will walk through that door. And 2017 is the moment of that. Now, if humanity can do that, then between 2017 and 2019, this whole paradigm will shift. So by the middle of 2019, we should have a civilization totally unlike the civilization that we know now. So okay. We'll that start in March. Simple. Now, you asked me the second question there. The information that I receive comes from off-planet, but I never go public with it unless I'm getting it from physical-bodied Earth-type people here. Now, they may not say exactly the same thing, but they may give me something which is very close to it, or they may say, yes, that sounds what we're looking at as well. So when I'm getting two sorts of information from two different sources, then I go public with it. Your viewers and listeners hopefully will know the story that my mother worked for MI5, my grandfather worked for MI6, but really it was the NSA and the CIA. So this is a family connection that exists. And your viewers should also perhaps be aware that I got that three-hour guided tour around the space radar base, which is American but on British land. So whilst one arm of the elite dislike what we do, there's always another arm that's trying to support us and help us. But those that are supporting us can't be seen to be doing it publicly. So they will do it in a private way. Mm-hmm. And so that's how that information comes through on a physical level.
When you say you get it from off-planet, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the interactions you have. Because we have, early on in my other interviews, and those listening are welcome to go and watch those, especially the first one. We drilled down into, the kind of contact you had as a child and this and that. But now, like right now, when you get information, can you describe how it comes to you? Because I get information. I think a lot of people out there do, with all, due respect to everyone listening. It's fair to say that humanity is being in contact in a massive way. Some people are in denial, obviously, about this, but I see it out all the time. And even with people that you might think are not particularly aware or awakened, can suddenly come up with something that you never imagined they would. So in your case, do you want to describe some of the ways in which you get it? Do you get it while you're, washing the dishes? Do you, get it when you're sleeping? How does it come? Are you only being visited by beings that present themselves in a certain form? How does it go?
The vast majority will be in answers to questions. So I will phrase a question telepathically.
Okay.
And then the answer will come back immediately. Or if the question I've asked could compromise myself, because sometimes the answers you get, you're not ready for at that time. That might come back a week later or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that is a direct telepathic link, and I don't hear a voice in my head. So it's not a voice. Mm-hmm. It's just the only time I've ever heard that would be when somebody has told me someone's name in their language. And then that arrives as a visual representation. Are you familiar with the in Indus language, Sanskrit? So it arrives like that, like the little squiggles, not hieroglyphical, but squiggles mixed in with colours, because colours can give you information. So colours can be used to break up sentences. So that can happen. Also visual pictures, because a picture can, why would somebody send eight or nine sentences to me if they can send me a picture?
Sure.
Then, and that may either be in black and white because it's arriving through a different method, or it may be in colour. So that is real-time connectivity when I need answers quickly, and when I do my radio shows, I'm connected up, so I can answer those questions very quickly.
Do you feel, when you say you're connected up, do you feel, again, I guess this kind of is part of that, in a sense, because we were talking off the camera, mm-hmm. and I think it's fair to talk about this, because I think he'd get a kick out of it, about my recent interview with William Tompkins, uh-huh. and you asked me, was I talking to him or an entity through him?
Yes, I did.
And I said, well, a lot of it, an entity through him, or entities, possibly more than one. And he definitely seems to be in the flow of getting, you know, information coming through him. Mm. It's not channeling in the conventional sense.
No.
You know, he's not moved aside. He's still there, very much there.
He's sharing the space with something.
Yes, but it is coming, you know, it's a constant flow, yes. I think, for him. And in fact, I would even go so far, and this is maybe presumptuous, but to say he may not even be aware of when he is and when he isn't.
I'd agree with that.
Because it seems so, you know, it's been in his life for so long at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, it's the lines, the boundaries are somewhat blurred. With yourself, do you feel this kind of connection that that we experience with him or see with him, or how would you maybe?
No, it's different. That's different. That's why I said to you, were you aware of it? Because what is sharing the space with him isn't totally compatible with him, and therefore you are aware of that. I've gone public with everything. I have a portal, which was established when I was very young. Mm-hmm. Which is unhackable. That's why I have a portal. Because mm-hmm. If you channel, then that can be hacked and you can be interfered with, and the information you receive, which could be good information, can have evil added to it. So I'm aware of the portal, and was actually asked if I wanted the portal when I was young. And I asked them what it would do, what would be helpful. So I have access to what you call the mantis, and I call the mantid. Mm-hmm. So I have that connection there. So that's where my information comes through, from that.
Yes. Well, I think that's great that you're saying this, because on a psychic level, I know I wasn't going to tell you this necessarily. I didn't know I was going to tell you this. But actually, before I came here, mm-hmm. I was visualizing that I would be talking to a mantis.
Good.
And for some reason... Right. I was told that I was supposed to do that.
Okay, well, let me just add to that. I always went public and said that my soul was not just one part.
Yes.
One part of that is one third mantis, mm-hmm. which means at some point in a long distant past, I have inhabited a mantis body.
Sure.
So that is a family connection, and hence why the British public obviously got the wrong end of the stick through the newspapers, who said that my mother, who gave birth to me, was an alien. That's not actually accurate. But anybody who bothers to do the research will actually understand what that's about. So the connection I have has always been strongest with the mantis, because the mantis actually were from this planet, and that's not widely understood. Mm. And yeah. Because of that, they are anchored to the Earth's energy, and they are part of the Earth's energy, and they take a great interest in it. And yeah, they've played a double game, as many have, but they always knew that the reptilians were on a dead end and that they were finished. And unless they evolved or accepted evolution, they would just become what I call budded off in the fourth dimension. They will create a separate universe within the fourth dimension, to which they will be prisoners to. Mm-hmm. Anything that's got any ounce of spirituality to it wishes to evolve, and the mantid certainly wish to evolve. So they've always taken a great interest, and you will find that there is a channel of communication between the Nordics and the mantis. Mm. There's no channel of communication now between the reptilians and the mantis, and there was, as there is no real communication between reptilians and Nordics. But the mantis have aligned themselves as an independent group who wish to see humanity evolve. And so the information that I receive, and I've never really thought about it, but somebody, it was an American actually, who sent me a message and said, do you realise, he said, in February of this year, on your radio show, you said Donald Trump would win the presidential election. And I said, no, actually, I hadn't, but I went checked back and I had. But the American language is, you called it. We don't say that in England, but his words were, you called Trump.
Uh-huh.
Right, so that was his words. And someone else said to me, everything that you've predicted has happened. And that was actually shocking for me, because when I look back, everything I've said has actually occurred. The only thing hasn't, as I said, I expected a banking crash in October. But if your viewers do the research, they'll find that Deutsche Bank came within 12 hours of a complete meltdown.
Yes, I remember this.
So everything that I've said has come to pass. That's why, whether people love me or hate me, they have to respect the information.
Right.
And I'm very, very careful on that. So if someone tells me something, I will check it out first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a researcher, but people do come to me with information. And I'll first think, well, why are you telling me? What do you want me to do with that? A number of people have put information my way, which is purely to discredit me, hoping I'd go public. But when I check it through the portal or I check it through individuals,
mm-hmm.
They'll come back and say, well, that's not come across my desk. So you can do more harm by telling people things and they get ready for it and then it doesn't come to pass. Sometimes it's better to wait, make sure your information is accurate. But I would always go public with something if I'm convinced 100%, because I couldn't dream of not alerting people. You know, let's say there was going to be an EMP explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And take out half of the states.
Right.
Well, if I get 12 hours notice of that, I will go public with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm.
Well, yeah, it is. It's very, very interesting, this dynamic that we're having. And in a certain sense, without official disclosure,
mm-hmm.
disclosure has been happening, filtering out.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very steady pace, and it seems to have somewhat escalated lately. But along with the escalation, I have noticed,
mm-hmm.
is an escalation of the, in other words, disclosure that is not really disclosure, mm-hmm. disclosure that is distracting and mm-hmm. inaccurate. And that quotient has, mm-hmm. you know, increased in my view.
Yes.
And I'm finding people are being very gullible towards any kind of disclosure. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of like when you, I guess, if you're starving and you're offered any kind of food, you just eat everything. You know, you don't think discriminately, well, I'd rather eat this is going to be healthy and this will, you know, this will mm-hmm. give me energy and this won't and so and so. So I see people out there like that, you know, gorging on, you know, if you will, information.
Yes.
And then getting it jumbled in their own mm-hmm. minds because they can't keep it straight. And so then I get people writing to me saying, well, you said thus and so, which I never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of those people who pays a great deal of attention to what I say, yes. what I don't say. And I also noticed that, again, people are just sort of swallowing whole a lot of stuff. And I just want to caution against that. So
mm-hmm.
I see that you're careful. And I think, you know, I did do some study quite a long time ago. And the mantids, I was told, were to some degree what is called the record keepers.
Correct.
On the planet. And
yes.
that they are also very careful.
Yes.
As a race, they're known for this mm-hmm. for their care, and so it does make sense that you would be, you know, very careful yourself in this regard. I wonder if, you know, you said that you are experiencing some interference,
mm-hmm.
and you also noticed that we were having some interference here,
mm-hmm.
and I wonder if you can describe what you see when you see interference. In other words, I think people would find it interesting. Are you seeing beings? Are you feeling the electromagnetics? What, you know, what kind of, do you have a checklist that you go through kind of thing?
No, I don't have a checklist. there are only three people in my life, to my knowledge, have been aware of the entity that is close to me 24/7. This mm-hmm. is a mantis being.
Sure.
But only three people have seen that. And I don't see it deliberately, because if I was to see it, my attention would be on that and I wouldn't be able to do the work that I do. And that's been explained to me. That's
mm-hmm.
why I can't see it. I also don't see orbs for the same reason. I've seen one orb, but it was pixelated out. But I am aware of negative energies that I am permitted to be aware of, to detect, to fight or prevent. What we have today in this room are independent beings who wish to see this go ahead and are fascinated. We also have a negative force which is not here in a physical form at all, mm-hmm. and has an AI connection to it. Mm-hmm. But it is also linked through demonic energy. So that is the negative that made you feel so uncomfortable when you walked through the door. Mm-hmm. That really didn't want this interview to go ahead. But we have, at the moment, 75% of the energy in this room is positive. And so therefore the negative energy is now being reduced to being a member of the audience and is forced to watch it. Mm-hmm. So I don't... The energies that attack generally are non-physical. They are,
I get a lot of that,
they are,
yes.
awarenesses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can appear in a shape. Mm-hmm. Generally they don't. I spend most of my time casting out jinn, sending them back. But a physical entity like a reptilian, like a draconis, well, that, providing it comes straight through from the fourth dimension and doesn't hang about, that is very physical. So you will see that with your own eyes. But because you are so psychic, Kerry, you will also pick up attachments or overlays on people. And there must be a number of people you've interviewed where you've seen not a helpful entity, but something that's overlaying and feeding off that person. Mm-hmm. So... for people who don't see it, then I would describe it as you can have just a feeling of energy, or you can have you can feel like a colour graph. You can actually make the outline, not through heat, but through energy that's being developed by this creature or creatures. Then consciousness itself has a signature. And then you can come right through to black ops, where you have American, mostly American, unfortunately, servicemen who either psychically attack you, sit around in a circle and they're given a photograph, mm-hmm. and a location,
yes.
sometimes a GPS reference, mm-hmm. And they will either remote view an attack. Now, that's different. Or an entity that will attempt to attack you psychically itself. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously the greys are quite used for that.
Right.
So this is a show in itself. But,
yes.
but basically, I won't see it unless it's biological. Unless it's, or if it's energy and it's coming right into the third dimension. If it's sitting three quarters out of the third, then I will just feel it. I won't see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I'm asking you, and I people are different on their psychic abilities and all of that, because... I have the feeling thing, but I actually can see in this space that we call ether, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
I can see, stuff and entities, and sometimes I can feel them or see them go by.
Yes.
That sort of thing. And I can feel that, I guess it's, I'll just say, I keep this sort of thing to myself. So it's not the normal interview where I get into this sort of thing. But I'm going to say that there is a cold spot here at my feet that they're trying to, do a draining thing.
Do you want to move?
No, actually.
Okay.
I'm fine. I'm just mentioning it, that I'm aware of it. And, that's just ridiculous, but it's going on. And I, back here, just a thing. Stuff going on here, but I can see things, and I see it's actually kind of cleared out a bit, because I can see a bit better. What happens is it's like having fog. The entities tend to be a lot like fog. So I feel when I walked in the room, it was very foggy, and it's cleared out a bit. So we're having an effect here.
They really didn't want this interview to go ahead. It's been very difficult the last 4 to 5 hours, been 6 hours now, been really attacked.
Well, see, we were a moving target, so we were actually relatively okay in the car.
It's harder for them to do it.
Much harder, and I find that, and I always say to people...
keep moving.
People say, what do you do? I say, a moving target's much harder.
Keep moving, absolutely.
I leave my place. You know, I do it regularly. Yeah. I have to. It's absolutely how I stay alive.
Yes.
Because if you stay in one place, they can really center...
yes,
their stuff on you. And you guys were here waiting, you know, I don't envy that. You know, it's the luck of the draw or the choice of the situation. And but you are on home ground, so you are fairly protected regardless, of course. So, yeah, I think that kind of would be interesting for the audience to hear. In terms of your contacts with, let's say, British intelligence, American intelligence, has this escalated or has it actually, you know, dissipated over the, you know, you've only been this kind of a public figure, I think, really in sort of hugely in the limelight for maybe 2 years or so?
Well, I went public in 2010 / 11.
Right.
But it was the tour of the radar base, which was, I think, 2013, something like that. That's what shifted it, excuse me, because that was, never mind to the media or the public, that was a warning to negative elements in all of the alphabet agencies that you've just mentioned, that there's a very strong support for what I'm about, and that they needed to realise that I wasn't just some lone person. There was quite an interest behind it. And what I noticed from that moment onwards was a complete change. First of all, from the media. Nobody on the media wanted to interview me except the BBC, the only ones who want to interview me. And instead of the jokes or the belittling or the rudeness, it was, the interviews I've had have been very serious. So, you know, a number of years back now, when the Pope said that he would bless an alien if an alien turned up, the BBC contacted me and said, we want to know what your opinion is because you've been saying aliens are real. And it was a very straightforward and equal interview. And then when I did the Today programme, the breakfast show with the two hosts, that was very straightforward, and no, they could have gone and tried to make me look a fool. It wouldn't
well,
have.
Well, you're lucky because my understanding is David Icke has been, you know, recently, not that long ago, interviewed maybe twice by the, I think it was the BBC.
Yes.
And he was messed about
pretty
strongly.
But he doesn't have people in intelligence protecting him.
Right.
And it also doesn't have. Let me try and explain a bit more. If you are a good person on this planet and you are protected by, or you are in connection with, let's say, Andromedans or one of the fifth dimensional races, it is very unlikely they will step in and help you because they do believe in the rule that they should not interfere. Now, they are stepping in more than they've done lately. But if you have a connection with a fourth dimensional entity, they've been involving themselves in human affairs for thousands of years, and they don't have any qualms about getting in. So if anything seriously was to happen to me, the payback to whoever was responsible or the organisation would be immense. And that's why I've not had anything too dramatic, shall we say. But if you look at the situation with Russia and the Nordics supporting the Russians, this is a group, it's not a breakaway group of Nordics, but it is a group of Nordics who have been tasked from the main group of Nordics to act semi-autonomously to support Putin against the situation in America. So those guys are more likely to become involved than generally. So if you take someone like David Icke, he doesn't have that level of protection. So therefore, someone on the BBC will be told, do what you can to make a fool of this man. Now, my opinion of David Icke is very high, and I think he's quite capable of giving as good as he gets and better. Yeah. But the fact is that they would not be permitted to do that to me now, because the comeback on them would be so horrendous. But so what they'll do is they just won't interview me generally.
Right.
They'll just not do it, because they don't want to give me the space on the establishment side to actually put a counter-argument through.
Yeah, it may also have to do with, you know, sort of the status of your audience at the time, because, you know, he has done things like I don't know, Wembley Stadium or something. Mm. And I'm sure that from time to time they want to take him down a peg or two. Mm. And this may be the way they try to do it. Because the more your sort of influence mm. spreads, the more they want to counter that, mm. right? And so I watch this dynamic, actually watch it go among those of us out mm. there sort of having the big limelight on us mm-hmm. for whatever reason, you know, which is not always logical, let me say that. But, you know, so there's a very weird dynamic going on with regard to trying to attack this one, mm-hmm. then attack that one, then attack that. It like going, jumping it around like that mm-hmm. so that people are... they're quite in a state, yes. What I find.
Yes.
You know...
I've been lied to for so long, they don't know what's truth and what isn't anymore.
But also very triggered. In other words, even people I'm talking, again, who are doing the job we're doing, more or less.
Right, okay.
Who are, instead of kind of like, you think, oh, it's just a normal thing, some of them are really being heavily triggered, and they mm. kind of are going off a little, you mm. know? Mm. And... I would just caution that, you know, it's kind of like, it seems like a big deal, but it's not mm. type of thing going on with us. Because, again, a lot of this information is coming at us as information. It's just, you know, ones and zeros or whatever kind of thing. And I think that understanding that we continue, mm. that humans and beings, as consciousnesses, that we continue regardless of what they throw at us, mm-hmm. is really important. Seeing a through line to your life mm-hmm. and to your continuance beyond this life,
right?
Could, you know, can help to anchor a person mm-hmm. in the midst of this. It's kind of like having waves of stuff thrown at you constantly.
Well, I think that's happening to the human race generally, that energies are being buffeted to people. And people, you know, I'll give an example of this where people post pictures of Nibiru or Planet X and it's going to hit us. And, you know,
right.
regularly I'm asked on my radio show, you know, and I'm saying, well, there is a Planet X, there is Nibiru, but it is not going to hit us. It is a totally artificial intelligence controlled device. It's actually held out at the moment. It's not coming in. It's on standby. But the number of people who will post pictures on the internet and whether they genuinely believe it's Nibiru or not, I really don't know. But of course what that happens is the public then start to accept it and believe it, and then it doesn't happen, and so their belief system, the crying wolf business, the system is, well, you know, next time someone says something that's truthful, they won't believe it. And
right.
that's what's not helpful. People who have perhaps watched one or two interviews, read a book, and then decide they're qualified to go on and write or do a video, which actually does more harm than good. And
yes.
that's what I object to. I'm all for free information, obviously, but I don't like it when people who have no experience and knowledge start posting stuff and act as if they do, or ask others to believe that they have that knowledge.
Right.
Because, you know, that is not the case. This planet is not going to be hit by Planet X. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. I, you know, I think at least I don't hear that people think it's going to hit us, but they're all very sure it's showing up in our sky and it's going to mm-hmm. cause a pole shift.
Mm.
Pole shift is the word of the day, so to speak.
Well, that would end the Earth if there was
and
a pole shift.
At least when I've looked into the future, this is not what I see.
We could have a magnetic pole shift, but not a physical pole shift.
These.
That's just my phone. Ignore that.
Oh, okay. So what I want to do now, though, is change gears a bit.
Okay.
And you can tell me yes, no, whatever you want to do. I want to find out about... I want to go into this world of pedophilia and what's going on with all of that and see what, you know, where you are what you are seeing and how you feel that this sort of wave of fascination, in a sense, with the general public and education at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, where you see that going and what the purpose is in the constant harping on this, because it's really gotten bad. And the other thing I want to ask you as a corollary, and you can address these in whatever order, is your own situation where you were attacked on Avalon. And we don't have to necessarily, you know, I can edit out things or whatever you'd like, or we can just talk about what it is people think that you are accused of, why they get this idea about you, and in the overall sense, this idea of, you know, we have a reptilian brain, and there is an issue with predatory sexuality, okay, that is sort of starting to permeate our the consciousness of people, mm-hmm. in a sense that they never heard of it. Like, and I find it hard to believe, and maybe that's just me. And, you know, I did work in Hollywood for 20 years, and so, you know, to me this is like old stuff, and why don't you know it yet? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And why is this such a shock? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the combination of Satanism, Luciferianism, mm-hmm. going in with that,
yes.
pedophilia, mm-hmm. etc. You see, and it does link to Kundalini awakening and activation, mm-hmm. so there's a positive side to things. Do you want to address that?
Yeah, absolutely, fine. First of all, on pedophilia, it's been rampant on this planet, but it's been mostly controlled, excuse me, through satanic groups, ritual groups, through some arms of the Freemasons. And I'm always very careful when I use the word Freemasons. I'm not blanketing everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the Freemasons, full stop. It is a small group within them who form a magical section. Mm-hmm. The reason that it is now so obvious is because human consciousness has risen that it can't be hidden from them. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, this was going on and was hidden from people. Now it can't be hidden. The powers, the elite, are finding it harder and harder to hide it. What they are able to do is to say, we can't hold it, but wait for X or Y to pass on. Then we will release it, because we can't hold it back much longer. But we'll ensure that we'll wait till that person's dead, because if we don't and that person goes to court, they will name the rest of us. So that's what that is. The satanic forces are the last bastion of evil on this planet, because they are consumed by a deadly energy evil, which has very recently linked itself with artificial intelligence. So you have an AI and a energy-based demonic force, which is now working in tandem, trying to prevent humanity evolving. Mm-hmm. What they wish to do is to enslave everyone. So it is the worst crime, and I'm clearly not fully evolved, because I would happily string anybody up who abused a child. Now, there are people who are more evolved than me who can forgive. In my level of development, I couldn't forgive that. For me, that's the worst crime. So people say, oh, this is shocking, that's shocking. I tell you what would be shocking: if the public actually understood how many arms of government are involved in sexual abuse of children. How many royal families, how many presidents, how many prime ministers, and in many cases, actually, it's done to blackmail them, so that they will always have to toe the line for this organisation, because otherwise it will be released. My mother was telling me that Ted Heath was a sexual abuser of children back in about 1973, 74. Mm. So it was known. The thing is, before we move on to the Avalon business, what makes me laugh is when these organizations who set themselves up to protect children, and they say, oh, you must report it, you must report it. These things were reported 20, 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Nobody took any notice of it. It's not about reporting it. It's about changing the culture in organizations so people aren't fearful. If you have a pension to collect or you have a salary, are you really so weak that you will not take action because you're frightened of your own job? You should actually say that humanity, there's a line in the sand which you won't cross. And if information comes to these people, then to hell with anything else. They need to go and deal with it. So we are seeing it because it is bursting out. The poison boil is bursting, and this is coming out. And I hope that the public do lose faith in their establishment, because we are seeing, whether it's in the sports, whether it's in politics, whether it's in church, whether it's in education, this has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that all humanity is evil, Kerry. What it means is that people can be corrupted. And so we need to change the way that organisations work. So that's vital. Now, the Avalon business, I have the highest regard for the founder of that organisation, although he doesn't like me. And I can say that it's very naive, and this happened on Avalon, it's very naive for a group of people to go remote viewing the Vatican, believing that they can send love and light to the Vatican. That's what happened on Avalon.
Yes.
They went to remote view the Vatican, to send remote view. Like, it was a trap. They were waiting for them psychically. They were attacked, and then a number of coordinators were taken over. And the whole object was, if they couldn't remove Bill Ryan, they would compromise him. So there's an awful lot that's gone on in Avalon, and I'm privy to that because I know what's been going on. One of the problems on Earth is ego.
Yes.
And I've always said, not always, but on many radio shows or conferences, I've actually said, I'm actually not very important. I'm not that important. I'm an ordinary person who has a job to do and believes he has to do it and does it. And I don't want any special treatment. And, you know, that's my track record. But there are people, and there were certainly people on Avalon, who resented the fact that people would ask me questions on Avalon and I would answer them. And they wanted that position. They didn't like the fact that, you know, why is Simon Parks, why does he have his own coordinator on Avalon to look after him? They do, because I have dyslexia. That's why Bill Ryan gave me my own coordinator, because my written skills aren't very good. No, that's the only reason. But they resented that. And so I've never bothered Kerry about discussion or debate. But when people become nasty, vicious, as they did on Avalon, and my concerns were when Bill Ryan took no action against those individuals, and then I knew it was time to leave. I've never actually set myself up as a counsellor of any sort. I'm not a doctor.
Well, what is the thing that you consider that you do?
I remove entities from people. That's
okay.
Not counselling them. I don't have any qualifications, and I've never said that I do.
Oh, all right. In England, if you believe in aliens, you go out in the street and proclaim it. They can actually, I think, arrest you, because supposedly that's against the law.
No, that's not accurate. You can only be arrested if you are a threat to yourself or to somebody else.
But who's to determine
it is,
what the...
It is illegal in America, but not in Britain. Okay. A statute which was placed, in, I think, in 87, though it goes back to 1969, which says it is illegal to fraternise with aliens.
Yes.
And that is the law that that the federal states, the states through the federal government, would use. Now, in Britain, that's not it's not illegal. You can only be committed or arrested if you are posing a threat to yourself or to another person.
But how is that determined?
It determines if another member of the public feels threatened by your actions or your activity.
Right. But I guess what I'm getting at is that there are these sort of outmoded, crazy views of what is crazy. So, you know, in other words, what does society think is crazy? And when society itself is crazy, you know, it becomes
dangerous. I don't think society is crazy, Kerry. I think that the laws and the rules that govern society are crazy. And the public then have no alternative, because they have seen no alternative, so they follow those rules. If we say what's normal, that's probably a better word. What is normal and what's accepted? Well, what's normal and accepted are actually different. What is accepted is what is taught in the schools and the universities, what your employer tells you, what the television tells you. That is accepted. But what is normal? Who is to say what you should do is not normal? Or that's normal. It's when it threatens the status quo. If you do something or set something up that could be a threat to an organisation that is empowered by the establishment, then suddenly that is that's crazy, because that doesn't follow the accepted lines. So I don't think society's crazy. I think the rules and regulations imposed on people are.
Well, society created those rules and regulations. So we get into, yes.
You know what I'm saying.
There's a split. Yeah.
So I'm fully aware of all the communications that go on. But because I don't get involved, because it's just pointless, ridiculous, and it's a waste of my time.
Well, you know, so I wanted to give you this opportunity. I don't want to belabor it, but this kind of thing goes on. Now, this is not the only place this happens. I have people who write responses to my YouTube videos and say the most outlandish things, and they come on my chat room and say horrible things, and they, you know, in other words, they're paid trolls. There are people that are completely out of their minds. There are people who are, you know, inhabited by very dark spirits who want to, you know, target certain things. And this goes on constantly. Now, this kind of, again, goes with the territory. It's part of, you know, if you become so-called famous or well-known, you're out there like a target.
What I say to people is, look to the interviews I've given. Listen to the radio show.
Right.
You tell me what's anti-human.
Yes.
You put your finger and you show me any statement that I've made that's anti-human. And then when someone tells you something, don't listen to them. You know, if there's me live on a radio show, on a conference, or recorded, then compare what you've been told with what you're seeing.
Yes.
And you make your decisions.